like to have a copy of God's word, maybe you're amongst that number of people who never read the Bible for yourself, never taken the opportunity. Give you that opportunity this afternoon. Parody of the New Testament offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. If you'd like to have one, then please do feel free to ask for one. It is, of course, God's Word, and it's the only place where you will find God's Word. His instruction manual that gives to you the revelation of God Himself, what He is like, and of course the revelation of ourselves, what we are like, truly like, I mean, not as we imagine ourselves to be, you know, the mirror on the wall that tells us the same lie each time we look into it, that we are the fairest of them all. You know, it's hardly the truth, is it? You know, it's just the outward image is all that you see, but when you look into the mirror of God's word, His law in particular, well, you see deeper than the outward image. You see into the heart, and you see that God describes our hearts in the way that, we never would. Some men, they tell me, you know, that men wrote the Bible. But when I look at the way that the Bible describes man, humankind that is, I hardly think that anyone here under the sound of my voice this afternoon would describe themselves in the way God describes them. Hearts deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No, you say I'm a good person. Yeah. Well, not according to God's word. But of course the Bible is given to us not just to give us the diagnosis, but the cure also. The sending of God's Son in the likeness of sinful flesh into the world to condemn sin, to destroy sin, to deal with sin, and to bring forgiveness and reconciliation to men such as you and I. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you, like I say, freely offered, New Testament in its entirety, yours to take and do with as you will. You'd like one, please feel free to come and ask for one. The Bible talks about one man who was, well, the only way you could describe it is he was mad with sin, you know. And the phrase, well, it says when he came to himself, you know, when he came to his right mind, that is, thinking, you know, intelligently, thinking correctly, well, where he was at, where the madness of sin had taken him to. And of course, well, that is the reality, you know, when you look around you, your world today, what's going on, the state of it, you know, your own nation, your own community. You see what men and women do? You see the crazy things that they do? You see the heaven-daring abominations that they do? I mean, not only again God's law, not only again the holy character of God, but you know against the state, the government of the day, you know, the defiance of courts, police, and well, parental control and all the rest of it, you know, just utter madness. So, you know, when the Bible describes sin as madness, well, it's not false. It's not short of the mark. In fact, it's right on. That's a pretty good diagnosis, I think. You know, insanity. That's what sin is. Moral madness. You couldn't really describe it in any other way. I mean, it leads to misery. you know, that saying you've got, you know, you say to somebody, you know, he or she, you know, is as miserable as sin. Because that's what sin does to us. It makes us miserable. You know, some people say, well, you know, I just want to be happy. You know, I just want to live my life and be happy. But, well, so why don't you? Why don't you? Why don't you escape the misery? You know, some people say they're free, the free men, free women. Some people would advocate, you know, that slavery was brought to an end by William Wilberforce, you know, back in the day. But it wasn't. We're all born in sin, and so we're all born into slavery. Slaves to sin. I mean, you want to prove the point? You can if you want. You try and walk away from it. Try and quit it, you know. Isn't it true, you know, you can't even walk away from your, you know, your addictions that you've got, you know, that you've built up in life. You go to the chemist, you go to the psychos, you try all kinds of tricks, you know, to get free of the addictions, but you can't. And neither can you walk away from your sin because you're not free, you know. You're born slave. And only Jesus, only He can set you free from the madness of sin that causes so much misery. It's the cause of all the misery in the world. You know? You can say that, and a few others too, but I just want to be happy, you know, that's the philosophy of some people, you know, but they never make it, you know, so why don't you just be happy then, because you can't be, because sin makes you miserable, it's the cause of all the misery in the world. And it's the cause of poverty, you know, poverty all over the world. You know, United Nations made this great claim, you know, when it was first established. They're going to bring an end to all the warfare. You know, we've got more wars going on this century than ever there's been before. And no, they're not all caused by religion. Many of them, in fact, most of them, as you go through history, were caused by godless, atheistic men, Stalin, Mao Zedong, and so on. And so you see, friends, the United Nations said they were going to bring an end to all poverty, the end of all starvation. Still haven't done it. It's still going on. People are still starving to death today. Not because God hasn't provided enough, but because of the greed of men and women the world over. So, you see, friends, misery, poverty, is still with us, you know. You know, I just want to be rich, you know. Just want to have plenty, you know. And no matter how much you work and toil. I mean, there's poor people even here in our own community, here in the Potteries, you know. There's people that can't pay their mortgages, you know, people that can't pay their rent, you know, people that are scraping together, you know, they're having to go to food banks to get food, you know. Sin, you know, the madness of sin, it causes misery and poverty, blindness. It blinds us to the reality of sin, reality of where it's taken us, reality of God. The reality of His goodness, His love, His mercy and kindness, you know? It blinds men and women to the reality of eternal things. It brings disease, you know? If you get rid of all the diseases, you know, that are caused by sin, you know, sinful living, your National Health Service would recover overnight. There would be more in plenty for everybody. You know? If you get rid of the diseases that are caused by drunkenness, you know, by drugs, you know, by sexual immorality, any one of these three, get rid of any one of them. And your National Health Service would be making money, not losing money. Sin causes disease, it wrecks the body, it wrecks the mind, it causes mental disorders, and it causes bodily disorders. The Bible says, you know, that God, when a man or woman gives himself or herself over to a life of sin, rejects God, rejects the knowledge of God, which they have, which they have, because all men know that God is. You know He is just the same as I do. God says He's made it manifest to you. He says He's made it clear to you, shown it to you. And He says you even clearly understand, you know that God is. But you hold the truth of the knowledge of God, you hold it down. You suppress it in unrighteousness because you don't want there to be a God. Because although it's madness, you love the sin. You love the sin, so you won't come to the light, says God. Because your deeds are evil. You know God's angry with you. You know He's displeased with you. So you won't come. You got this love affair going with sin. You love this stuff. You love the madness. And so you cling to it. You won't come to the light and be made well. So you see, sin is madness. It causes misery, poverty, blindness, disease. It causes insanity. I guess, you know, I don't know what kind of percentage, but I think you could probably release about 75% of patients from lunatic asylums. You know, if you cured their sin, you know, if you got them right with God, because it's insanity. It's manity, friends. Utter manity. Insanity, sorry. Wrong word. Insanity, you see, at least the Lord God says, you know, that when a man or woman rejects God, rejects the knowledge of God, exchanges the truth for a lie, God says he gives them over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. He gives you over to more and more of the insanity. You see, God punishes sin with sin. You know, you say in effect, well, I love my sin. I don't like this gospel business. I don't like the thought of God. I'm going to abolish it from my mind. I'm going to adopt the philosophy of the masses of humanity today. I'm going to say in my heart there is no God. So God says, okay, I'll open the gate. I'll open the door. I'll let you go through. And He gives you over. He gives you over, instead of the power of God, He gives you over to the power of yourself. He gives you over to sin. He gives you over to more and more sin. Until you destroy yourself, body and mind. Until you're crazy with it. This man in the Bible who I speak to, he came to himself. He came to a right mind. You know, he was cured of the insanity of his sin, you know. That would mean, you know, that he repented, he changed his mind, and he believed on the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to a right mind. That's the only way to an intelligent, you know, reasonable, sensible, you know, person that God intended you to be, that God made you to be. Not to live in the insanity of sin with a debased mind, a reprobate mind. But that's what God gives you over to. You say you want to sin, God says, okay, I'll give you more. I'll give you what you want. And He gives you more and more of your sin. You know? He gives you over, you know, to His, you're giving over to the wrath and displeasure of God. And that's what you see that all around you. You see it in the madness of sin. You see it in the crazy things you hear people saying. Men saying that they want to be women, and women want to say that they're men. You know, and all the perversions, you know, in sexuality. You know, friends, you know, it's just madness. It's the madness of sin. Couldn't call it anything else. But you could be brought to your right mind. You know, the drunkenness. I mean, is that not insanity? You know, a man or woman continues on in drunkenness. I mean, they know they're wrecking their bodies. They know they're wrecking their minds. I've had people around me here in Newcastle before, and you know, and they're just absolutely wrecked with alcohol. You might say that, you know, that they're beyond redemption. I wouldn't like to say that, you know, but some of them, you can see their minds are gone. Their minds are rotted, you know, with the alcohol. Or maybe drugs, you know. But they carry on with it. Tell me that's not madness. Tell me that's not insanity. But that's what God gives you over to the insanity, the madness of sin. You know, when you choose to reject God, when you you choose to worship self, you choose to exchange the truth for a lie, you choose to embrace the lie that it's just nonsense. Evolution. It's just your self-invented escape route, you know, to carry on with the madness, the insanity of sin, a reprobate mind. That's what God gives them over to. You see, and their understanding is darkened. They can't understand anymore. You know, understand properly, I mean reasonably. And because they can't understand, their minds are darkened, you see. And so they just go with the darkness. The darkness of sin, I mean. You know? Because they don't understand like they should do. They don't understand eternal realities. They don't understand the reality of God. They don't understand the kingdom of God. Except a man is born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Why? Because of the reprobate mind. Because of the insanity. Because of the madness. The madness of sin. This man came. He came to a right mind. He came, you know, to a... He came to a... He came to himself, the Bible says, you know. A right understanding, that is. Only Jesus can bring you there. Only the Son of God. Judgment's impaired as well. Because you make decisions, you know, that leads to more madness. You make decisions that lead you into, you know, more pain, more disorder, more misery, more disease. You know, that's what sin does. That's the madness of sin. That's the debasement of mind, you know, that God gives men and women over to. When they reject Him, when they reject the knowledge of Him, when they exchange the truth for a lie. That's the end result, you see. More and more madness. And of course, moved, of course, to do more stupid, you know, and more foolishness. You ever see such a foolish generation as you've got today? Do you not see the folly? Do you not see the madness around you? I guess most of you do, but you're frightened to speak out against it. In case they come after you, the thought police, you know, the PC brigade, in case they come after you and haul you into court, you know, for hating somebody that you disagree with. But you know, all it takes is for evil to progress, is for good people to remain silent. But there you go, that again is the madness of sin. You have the folly. You ever see such a foolish generation as this? Don't you see, don't you hear the stupidity? I mean, you watch it in your television screens. I mean, you see it in your internet screens, don't you? The utter folly and stupidity of men and women increasing more and more. Never has been a time when this country has been so intellectually bankrupt. Do you see what goes on at Oxford and Cambridge University? The top learning houses in your country. Do you see the foolish? Do you see the utter depraved ways in which those young people behave themselves? And they're encouraged to do so. And that's the cream. That's the cream. Of your nation. That's your future leaders. Government, education, and all the rest of it. The next generation coming. Oh dear, If you're still having children, you need to think about it, what you're bringing them into. In this world, in this society in which you live, the madness of sin, it increases and it will go on increasing. Only one way that will stop it, only one way that will cure the madness, only one thing that will bring you to yourself, to a right mind, that is, and that is repentance. To repent of the sin, to repent of the madness, and turn to Jesus Christ. He gives you a right mind. To sit clothed in your right mind at the feet of Jesus. Only the gospel, only the good news concerning Jesus Christ can do that. And of course, when a person, you know, tells over to sin, to the madness of sin, you know, when a person rejects the knowledge of God and God gives them over to a reprobate mind, he gives them over to the power of self. He gives them over to strong desires. He gives them over to passionate desires. He gives them over to carnal desires. And they begin to desire, you see, things, well, that they ought not to. They begin to desire things that are perverse, you know, that are even contrary to nature. Never mind contrary to God. He gives them over to things, you know, carnal desires, desires for the flesh, you know, desires for evil, desires for wickedness, impulses, you know, they just go with the impulse. No reason, no thought goes into it, you know, just the impulse of your sin nature. Don't you know the Bible tells us you were born in sin? You are conceived in sin. You've got a wicked, evil nature right from the get-go. Right from the very start. That's why, you see, Jesus says your nature's got to be changed. You've got to be born again, you see. You can't be born again by yourself. Only God can do that. It takes a miracle, you see. It takes a miracle to change a man or woman's nature. Only God can do that. Religion can't do it. Politics can't do it. Philosophy can't do it. Courts and prisons can't do it. You see, you just give yourself over to the impulse. In the madness of sin, you just give yourself over, you know, to the impulse of your sin nature, the wicked nature in which you were conceived and born, and you just go with the madness more and more. Give me the madness, you see. Give me the madness. I love the madness. The madness. I love the insanity of sin. Until God changes your heart. Until God sovereignly chooses to change your heart, to change your nature. Because no one ever desired reason. No one ever desired intelligence. No one ever desired to give up the stupid until they were born again. Until God changed their natures, their hearts. Then, of course, well, then you desire. Then you come to yourself. Then you come to your right mind. Then you come to a right way of thinking. Then you come to use your reason, your God-given reason. Come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The insanity can be cured. There is a cure for it. It's the gospel. It's the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. His death is resurrection from the dead. In order that you might have a new life, new heart, new life, new mind. You know, coming to yourself, coming to a right mind, an end of the insanity, the madness of sin, and the following, ruled by carnal desires. Isn't it true? You know, you go into things and you do things, you know, that are utterly mad, and you do it without any thought of the consequence, you know? Oh, you think afterwards, I shouldn't have done that. That was a stupid thing to do. But you didn't think of the consequences to begin with. You know? And you do stupid things. You know? As far as God's concerned, you rail against God. You rail against the gospel. You blaspheme His name. You know, you contravene every commandment that God has given to us, you know. Without any thought of the consequence, if you knew, I tell you, if you knew, you know, that what you're going to face on that day, you know, you're going to stand before God and listen, hey, you're not going to say, oh God, I didn't know that you were. If I knew that you were, well, I wouldn't have done X, Y, Z, you know. It won't be like that, friends. It won't be like that. Because you knew that God existed. You knew that God existed. You know that He exists. And when you stand before Him, you know, and when you realize the consequences of your sin, the madness of your sin, and God says to you, get out of my sight, I never knew you. You know, if you just thought about the consequences, you know, if you realize, you know, that your future in the madness of sin, the future is the damnation of hell. Then, of course, you know, when the consequences come home, when you reap what you've sown, you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh, you know. When you realize the consequences, it was too late then. But you see, you just jump into it. You just follow your carnal desires, the impulses of your sinful nature, without any thought, any reasoning as to where it's going to take you. You know, if I do this, I'm going to end up in court. If I do this, I'm going to end up in jail. If I do this, I'm going to end up in the scaffold. If I do this, I'm going to end up in the damnation of hell. You know, reprobate minds, carnal desires, the impulses of your sinful nature. That's the madness of sin, you know. And you just carry on, you see, until you're beyond appeal, till you're beyond redemption. You've thrown out the moral compass, you see. God's given you a moral compass. His commandments, His law. You know, written down in the Word of God, the Bible, which of course I've offered to you and continue to offer to you week by week. If you just read for yourself and see. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. God's moral compass is He given to you to steer you in a wholesome way, in an intelligent way, instead of the madness of sin. But you throw the compass, you throw the moral compass out the window, out the door. You say, I don't want that. That's too binding. That's too restricting. But it's not restricting at all. It's not given to restrict you. It's given to keep you from the madness, from the folly of sin, instead of following the impulses of your sinful nature, instead of being ruled by your carnal desires. But it's only the person who's ruled by King Jesus that gets to heaven. It's only the person who comes under His yoke, His rule. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know? Jesus' way is easy. Madness of sin, I tell you, the insanity of sin, following the impulse of your sinful nature, your carnal desires, that's the hard, that's the heavy way. Your master ruled by your carnal desires. When Jesus would rule you, you know, in an easy way, a pleasant way, a wholesome way, an intelligent way, a good way, in the way, of course, to bring you to eternal life, bring you to the kingdom of God instead of the damnation of hell. But that's the end of you being ruled by your carnal desires. The end of that, you see, is hell. You know, the madness of sin, the objects of your choice, you know, choices and rejections, you know. A sane person, surely, somebody who's of a right mind would be a person who would choose the good, would choose the wholesome, would choose the righteous, you know. But in the insanity and the madness of sin, you choose that which is evil. You know, you call evil good today and you call good evil. You know, you've reversed God's order of things. And the result of it is, of course, more and more madness. But a sane person wouldn't do that. A person who's in their right mind, an intelligent, thoughtful, reasoning person, you know, would reject the evil. You know, they would work it out in their minds. Well, if I do this, if I live this way, the consequences will be, you know, my destruction. Destruction of my body, destruction of my soul, destruction of my mind. You know? They would think it out, they would think it through. But you haven't got the ability. You see, your minds are darkened. You're given over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. You're given over by God, you see, to the madness of sin. And so in your madness, you don't choose the good. You don't reject the evil. But you choose the evil and you reject the good. And the end of that, of course, is eternal destruction. In the madness of sin, you see, you choose that which is dangerous. You choose to fly in the face of God. You choose to fly in the face of all his loving overtures, you know, to pleading with you to repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you might be saved, in order that you might be brought to a right mind, brought to yourself. Like this man in the Bible of whom I referred to, you know, you would choose the safe, wouldn't you, you know? But the madness, you know, you choose the danger, you know? I warn you week by week, I cry out to you to repent and believe the gospel. I warn you of the danger, I tell you, your house is already in fire. I mean, what would you do if you loved someone and you knew that their house was in fire? Your next door neighbor, perhaps, you know? And they're asleep in their bed and they don't know that the house is on fire. Well, you wouldn't just knock on their door. You would kick their door in and you would drag them out their beds if you could. If you had to. And I tell you, week by week, I warn you of the wrath to come. Of the fire that never shall be quenched. The fires of hell. Because that's the end of the madness of your sin. I tell you, I plead with you. I cry out to you week by week, but you pay no heed. You carry on, you choose. You make a deliberate choice. According to your nature, of course. Your wicked, sinful nature. But you choose, you see, to continue in your sin. You choose to continue in the madness. You won't turn from it, you see. You can't be reasoned with. God tells you of his love and the greatness, the vastness, the immensity of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish in the flames of hell, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God's love is declared to you amongst you. But yet, you know, in the madness of sin, you say you want love. You say you want to be loved, and God offers to love you, but you reject it in your madness. You say, no, I want the insanity. I want the asylum. I would rather live in the asylum than live in God's kingdom. Give me the asylum. I want to live with the rest of the lunatics. I want to enjoy the rest of the lunatics. I don't want to come out of the asylum, you see. I love the madness. I love the insanity. I know it's stupid. I know it's dangerous. I know where it's taking me. But I love it. I love it. I love it. As God complains against you, that you love your sin. You love the darkness, and that's why you won't come to the light. God knows that. Tells it to you. But you won't have it. You won't be told. Why? Because you're insane, that's why. You can't reason with an insane person. You can't reason with a madman. I said, that's impossible. I try to converse with some of you from time to time, and all I get from you is madness. And you end up cursing and swearing and blaspheming and spitting in my face. Can't even get a reasonable conversation with the most of you. And the madness. Madness. I want the asylum, you see. I want to carry on living with the lunatics. Thank you very much. When God offers to bring you to your right mind, when God offers to cure your insanity, you know? God so loved the world, but you so hate him. You so hate him that you would rather live in your insanity. You know? See, you're either one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or you're a supernaturally reborn God lover. But the insanity will never be cured until you've been born again. Until God works upon your heart, upon your nature, gives you a new nature. A nature that desires to reason, to be reasoned with by God. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. So you see, a madman too, the the madness of sin. You say you reject wise counsel. And the wisest counsel that you could get, you see, is what's found in God's Word, the Bible. This is the wisdom of God, you see. Get wisdom, says God. You say, where do I get wisdom? You won't get it at Oxford or Cambridge. You might get cleverness. You won't get it at Keele University. Or you might get cleverness. Plenty of cleverness. You got clever men. They do science, they do politics, they do education, they do all kinds of things. Plenty, plenty, plenty cleverness, but not much wisdom. That's why your country, that's why your world is such a damnable mess that it's in. Because there's no wisdom. Wisdom, you see, you get from God, His wise counsel. But you see, madness, the insanity of sin, you see, rejects the wise counsel of God. The gospel, the holy scriptures, which have the ability, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is the wisdom of God. This is the wise counsel. But the counsel you don't want. Oh, you say, I need somebody to counsel me. I've got a drug problem. Well, God counsels you, but you don't want His counsel. You want the quacks, you want the psychos, they'll tell you what you want to hear. Oh, I've got a drink problem. I've got a problem with immorality. I need counsel. Somebody to counsel me. Plenty of counselors they are. But they speak not according to the wisdom of God. The wise counsel of God, you see, that will lead you out of the darkness, out of the insanity, out of the madness of sin, and bring you to an intelligent, reasonable mind. And to bring you to the salvation of God that is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. The wise counsel of God that will lead you to repentance. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That's good counsel. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's God's counsel. That's good counsel. Forsake the madness of sin. Reject the madness of sin. Reject the asylum. Reject the rest of the lunatics that are in the asylum with you. Reject the madness of sin, you see. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his mad thoughts, you see. His reprobate mind. Turn from it, you see. This is the wise counsel of God that would lead you to repentance, a change of mind, you see. About God, about His Son, Jesus Christ, why He came into the world, and about your sin and what it's doing to you, destroying you in body, soul, and mind. And one day for all eternity, if you're not made well, if you're not rescued from the madness of your sin. But this is the wise counsel of God, you see. Wise men receive counsel. Wise men receive the counsel of God, but it's only madmen, you see. It's only the insane that reject the counsel of God. And that is to repent and to believe the gospel. You see, repentance and faith, they always go together. They're yoked together. You can't separate them. They're like Siamese twins. If you separate them, you've got death, you see. Repentance is always unto faith. A repentant person is a person who believes, and a person who believes is a person who repents. You turn, you see, you do an about turn, you forsake the madness of your sin, and you turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, the only way that you can come to God. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Name of Jesus, Son of God, who came into the world for this reason, this purpose, that you might be saved. Yes, sir, can I help you?
What's an eye for an eye?
What is it? Justice. Justice.
Justice?
Yeah.
So you believe in justice?
I do. Yeah. So does God.
Right. Please tell me why the Bible changed all this woman, Irwin Eyes, Irwin, whatever.
Tell me about it.
The lion shall lay with the lamb. Right?
Yeah.
Why did he change it? The wolf shall lay with the lamb.
I don't know what you mean.
Look at your Bible.
I don't know what you mean. Tell me where.
Isaiah 6.
Okay. That's where the prophet was smitten in his conscience and he fell down before God.
What?
And he cried out to him. He cried out to him. He said to God, that's 4, 5, 6. I don't think you're right. No, I don't think so. You see, woe is me, he says, I am done. I am undone because I am... No. I think he wants you. Yeah. Well, listen to it.
My Lord, guide me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I mean, I am.
Yeah,
listen,
hear me. Hear me. Justice, yeah. God believes in justice. And God will bring us all to justice. You and me both. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Have the trumpets sounded yet?
And that's why not yet. That's why we need to repent.
Sure the trumpets haven't sounded.
No, they haven't. You'll hear them. You mean the seals. You're talking about the seals. The seals are opened time and again. No.
I'm here to speak publicly, sir.
Public. Public.
Wearing a
public, yeah.
You've been sent
public. So, like I say, friends, the madness, you know? Like
six,
I say.
Six.
The madness. Oh, dear. Now you see what I mean when I say the madness of sin. It drives them mad, you see. I always get somebody that proves my case, you know? That proves God's case, you know? The madness, the insanity of sin. You're living in an asylum, and pleased to live in the asylum. Get out from amongst them, says God, and be ye separate, and I will receive you, and I will be a God and a Father to you. Repentance, you see. The wise counsel of God, as I was saying before I was interrupted, it leads a person to repentance and faith, belief in the gospel, belief in the Son of God. That's the cure, friends. That's the only cure, the gospel, the good news, Christ who died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners, rose again from the dead to justify sinners before God, to give them new life, to heal them of the madness of sin, to make you well, to bring you into your right mind, to reason with God, and to receive His counsel that would lead you to eternal life. You see, the madness of sin, it leads to misery, it leads to poverty, it leads to blindness, disease, insanity, a darkened understanding, ruled by your carnal desires, the impulse of your sinful nature. That nature, you see, friends, it has to be changed. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, ye must be born again. Unless you're born again, the day will come, I tell you, when you'll wish you had never been born at all. God's counsel, God's wisdom, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The exit door from the asylum into the kingdom of God. The asylum, I mean, of insanity. Out of it, out of the madness of sin, out of the reprobate mind, and into your right mind, trusting God through Jesus Christ, and led by God, His grace to know. Ah, dear friends, the gospel is God's medicine to heal you, to make you well, and to bring you into His kingdom. Repentance, faith, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from sin's madness. Saved from the insanity of sin. saved from being ruled by your carnal desire. Instead, to be ruled by King Jesus. His gentle, His loving, His kind, His wholesome rule. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Oh, the burden of sin is heavy. Dreadfully heavy. Weighs you down in this life. Weighs you down in body. Weighs you down in mind. Will weigh you down into the damnation of hell one day. If you do not repent and believe the gospel. If you do not turn from the madness of sin. Get yourself into your right mind through Jesus. That's why He came, friends. Christ Jesus came into the world not to make men religious, not to make you respectable, but to make you, to save you, to rescue you from the madness of sin. The insanity is all around you. It's all around you. And more in your society, the lunatics are taking over the asylum. Can't you see it? You're still blind. You're still in your sin. Is your mind still darkened? The wise counsel of God is offered to you again this afternoon. Copy of God's Word. Entirety of the New Testament offered to you freely without any cost, any obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. It's the Word of God, it's the wise counsel of God, it's the pathway to sanity out of the asylum, out of the insanity, out of the madness of sin, and into the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's God's wise counsel, and it's offered to you. Yours take and do with as you will. You'd like a copy, come and ask for one. Read for yourself and see. First recorded words of Jesus in the Bible, in the New Testament of the Bible, are these. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand. That's why. So I call upon you, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Newcastle, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Make a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God have mercy upon your madness. May God have mercy.